brother. What's up?
This is a good recording, man.
Yeah, brother,
I dig it.
Stop right on.
Hey, man, what's up?
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. And TGIF, Calvin.
Yeah, you said it right. It's a little bit cooler today, too, than it was yesterday. It was hot and sticky.
Yeah, but TGIF just the same, huh?
Just the same.
All right. Hey, so it's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. Hey, Sandy, how you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing all right. I'm feeling a little. On my way here, I dropped my young dog. I've got a 9-month-old dog, and she was dropped off to get spayed, which I think some people cynically call getting fixed. But she trusted me this morning. I'll be interested in how she feels about me when I pick her up tonight at the end of this process.
Let me, Sandy, you just got back from Florida not so long ago, and you miss.
Yeah, apparently I escaped a biblical flood.
Yeah, they're probably building an ark down there right now.
Yeah, we were out down there in these shells rowing, but they're loading animals onto boats right now. I was in Sarasota and left last Sunday. Saturday and Monday the rain started, and I think in 2 days they got 8 inches of rain.
Yeah, I got a buddy down there now. He's been down there. He's coming back today. He's been down there for the last week and a half. And Sandy, floating cars, closed highways, homes destroyed, insane rainfall. You know, just he told me he was on the ocean. And he couldn't see just torrents of rain. He couldn't even see the ocean.
The ocean came to him.
Yeah. And so I always say, you know, people talk about, oh, it's wonderful down here. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. The amount of rain that they've received.
Well, between that and hurricanes, when you get not only rain, but unbelievable winds. You know, like I said, when I was talking about Florida, I think the people who decide to move to Florida for tax reasons and possibly for climate reasons are going to paying a dear price. They pay a dear price to live in Florida, I think. And it's living amongst that kind of stuff, as well as a place that has, well, absolutely no, its terrain varies from 40 feet above sea level to 10 feet above sea level. I mean, they talk about the plains being flat. Florida is flat.
Well, you know, Sandy, I remember a long time ago, they used to say, hey, Miami's going to wind up underwater.
Well, that's apparently the case. I mean, if you take and plot out what's happening to the ocean levels, you take it out 50 years and Florida begins to look like a tiny sliver hanging down from the rest of the United States because it's most of Florida is 10 feet above, 15 feet above sea level. There's no tolerance there for high water.
Well, you know, Sandy, you say it tongue in cheek, but 50 years from now, that could be a reality.
No, that's what the maps look like. When they show the maps of what happens to the East Coast of the United States when the ocean levels rise, they're going to need a whole system like Holland has of dikes and all kinds of things to retain the current level of landmass.
And you know, the worst thing about all of that, Sandy, is, you know, there's no insurance. I mean, people, their homes are flooded. They can't afford, the insurance for flooding. What do people do?
Yeah, I was talking to an Uber driver I had when I was down there, and he was explaining what had happened to home insurance levels there, that, you know, you have to have insurance for catastrophic loss of homes to have a mortgage. You have to have fire insurance, and if you're of a place that's likely to have floods, you have to have flood insurance. Well, flood insurance in Florida is exorbitantly expensive. Lots of people can't afford to get the insurance, so they can't get a mortgage, so they can't have their house. You know, they can't. So it's having a significant impact. And the ones who want to deny climate change are need only to look at their insurance bills to figure out that someone who's more expert than they are, someone who's got skin in the game in terms of looking at the risk, the insurance companies think there's a substantial risk.
You know, Sandy, at the same time, the argument, you know, when the budget, federal budget came out, was cuts to FEMA. And FEMA, I was reading something the other day, is just about done already. It's just June, Sandy.
Well, if you look at what the private expenditures have to be to deal with climate change, if you look at the private expenditures and the municipal expenditures that are necessarily in lowland places like New Orleans and Florida to protect their coastlines and to protect their shorelines and to protect the property owners, those expenditures are going to be hundreds of billions of dollars, probably up into the level of trillions of dollars if you map it out over the 50-year period that we're projecting. So should the government be making some of those investments? Maybe they should. I mean, the question is, you know, what are we going to do about it? And climate change, the amount of money that's being expended to try and defer climate change is probably dwarfed by the expenditures that will be required to deal with the climate change.
So, Sandy, hurricane season is just kicking up. No, or it'll be later, right?
It's later. It's in the late summer.
Okay, but if it's, you got to factor in hurricane seasons.
Yeah.
After they're hit with this.
Well, and the problem with hurricanes is, you know, tornadoes cut a swath maybe a half mile wide someplace where they come down, and they maybe the swath is 10 miles long and there's a lot of damage in that 10 miles. But hurricanes cut swaths that are hundreds of miles wide and hundreds of miles long. So when a hurricane hits, like the one, you know, the ones that have hit,
right,
that are substantial, cause billions of dollars of problem, and they cause it in locales. So if you're an insurer, it's catastrophic.
You know, Brendan says Mar-a-Lago is underwater.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine the beloved Mar-a-Lago? Couldn't they have found a way to?
I don't know. I'm trying to wipe the smile off my face.
You know, nobody wishes bad luck to anybody who's ever had their basements flooded. I've had mine flooded. I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
It's not
in my current home. But,
right.
Yeah.
It's not.
I don't want to diminish the value of my current home, so I have to quickly deny that it's a basement has ever been.
Yeah. Flooded. Yeah. Well, but it's a horrible, horrible thing. Trying to get your home fumigated and dried out, and not counting the stuff you lose, but just, you know, the damage that does, you know, all of these cars that are flooded, they'll wind up for sale up here once they dry out.
Probably.
This is what we talk about, regulation, right?
Yeah.
You know,
there are things that government does. You know, they've managed to clear the Baltimore Harbor very, very quickly.
Oh, yes.
100 days, you know, and FEMA, competently operated, does some spectacular things in response to. So, you know, we need government, and the people who want to attack government and strangle it financially in all ways, including, for instance, like FEMA, or talk about how it is that we ought not to be expending any money in associated with climate change, need only look at the implications of the cost to the private sector and to the municipal governments that relate to all the problems that are now being experienced as a result of climate change. I mean, you know, these rivers, the storms in California that are the result of atmospheric rivers never happened before. I mean, we're experiencing rainfall in concentrations and in concentrated places and in levels that haven't been experienced before.
You know, Sandy, I have to say, I remember the deep tunnel that was built in Milwaukee, and the deep tunnel wasn't so deep as it turned out, and the capacity of it was not what it was touted to be. And maybe they didn't realize at the time, but it was way too small. And I remember flooding happening in our basements repeatedly with heavy rainfall. But can you imagine 8 inches of rain? The impact that would have in a city like Milwaukee. And then before you answer that, I have to say, this is the thing that people don't realize about Joe Biden and his presidency. They are putting sewers in all over the city of Milwaukee. Huge sewer.
Well, they're doing work to separate the sewers.
Yes.
And the places where the storm sewers and the regular sewers ran coincidentally and overtaxed our sewer system. You can tell what happens with heavy rainfalls. You can go and look at YouTube and look at the Shorewood flood of 2010. There was a huge rainfall.
I remember that.
It was in the city of Milwaukee, actually, right at the edge. It was 6 feet deep, cars washing down the road.
But Sandy, if it wasn't for Joe Biden's policies, all of the work that's being done right now with these sewers would not be taking place.
Yeah, I mean, to the extent that government expenditures have contributed to inflation, it's all been these investment expenditures that are designed to improve our infrastructure, our roads, our sewers, our water systems. They're replacing lead pipes. And massive programs across the country for lead pipes. I mean, they're doing lots of things. The government is to make up for deferred maintenance for a long period of time when we weren't spending the money. And, you know, people complain about inflation in the United States. The inflation we've experienced, in spite of all that expenditure, did not match the inflation level that it was experienced in Western Europe and is being experienced. And we've already retracted from that level of inflation down to what was the norm for inflation in the 3% range, which was the norm for most of post-World War II America.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams, and you hang on the phone lines. 844-967-2789 is the number. Well, I know what that is.
That's a song we all recognize.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, the music.
Well, the music. I was sort of reacting to something that was said yesterday about Milwaukee being a horrible city.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
I decided to champion Wisconsin and Milwaukee and the cities of Wisconsin because this isn't a horrible place to live. Florida might be a horrible place to live, but that's where he lives. I picked music to champion.
Let's bring Brendan in from New Jersey quickly. Hey, Brendan. Thank you very much for calling. You say what?
I just wanted to jump on, first of all, and say I'm really sorry. Mar-a-Lago is not underwater. I think the storm really hit Broward County the worst,
okay,
which is south of Mar-a-Lago. But so I don't hope I didn't get anybody in any trouble.
No.
But being in the car rental industry and working within the car rental industry, this state got hit so bad a year and a half ago. The car rental industry is still recovering. Insurance companies have upped damage deductibles for commercial policies. The major car rental companies are self-insured for the liability side of their policy, but they go to these other insurance companies for the comp and collision on their rental fleets. So these are things that are a big effect in that state, as Florida really is the car rental capital of the world. with Disney and so much of their industry being tourism. So I just wanted to add my two cents on that. It's a tough situation for the people in Florida. And I have friends that live down there. I have many, many locations that I deal with in Florida. And they tell me the same thing, Earl, that, you know, I don't know if I'll be able to afford my insurance when I rebuild. So, yeah.
Hey, Brendan, let me ask you a question quickly.
I just wanted to clarify so nobody gets in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. So let me ask you quickly. Car rental business. Those cars that are flooded, how do they wind up north? And then people don't know that they're being sold cars that were flooded.
Well, I mean, the car rental industries in many of the cases are dealing with lease buybacks with the factories. So they've got to declare the banks have to declare that the car, you know, is either rebuilt or a salvage title. So because of the salt damage that it does to the body of the vehicle and so on. So that's really what you have to look for. You have to look for cars that look pristine, you know, don't look like they've had any body damage on them whatsoever, but somehow they have a rebuilt or salvage title.
All right, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. Sandy?
Well, you know, I my heart does go out to anybody that's having problems, flooding problems. Florida, I'm making jokes about it, but you know, obviously it's not Schadenfreude,
right,
really. And however, I do want to celebrate Wisconsin. We're lucky. We don't have those kinds of disasters. We might have extensive rainfalls, we might have localized flooding occasionally, we have tornadoes periodically, but we have nothing like the natural disasters lots of the country deals with.
You know, Sandy, and can you imagine with that type of flooding, snakes, crocodiles,
or sharks? I mean, particularly if you're in a battery driven boat and the shark comes. Yeah. Anyway, that's another story.
Well, but I mean, you know, when the flooding like that happens, there's snakes in the water, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've read things about those floods.
You're beginning to sound like that movie about the airplane.
Yeah. But anyway, that's God's country, right?
Yeah.
Nah, that's, you know, that's what they say.
I'm not the best Chamber of Commerce kind of advertisement for Florida.
But you know, because we're gonna you know, turn the page in a moment, but. The heat, Sandy, on top of all the other things, you know, got to be nice, you know, around November, December, January, you know, that's got to be a great time. Well, that's hurricane season though, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, people, you know, and there is, I suppose, an issue. How much does human conduct contribute to global climate change? I mean, that's something for scientists to discuss and debate. I think there's no question that human conduct is contributing to it, and the rate of the climate change is extremely rapid. And we need only look at the data. Every year is hotter than the prior year, and every year sets a new record for years where temperature and weather has been recorded. And so it's getting warmer and warmer, and the heat that is being experienced is obviously newsworthy. I mean, it's become extensive. The heat dome and the dangerous heat that's being experienced around the country last week in Arizona and California, now predicted for much of the South. This is something that people should be waking up to and realizing that there's a big, both private and municipal expense associated with dealing with this kind of stuff.
You know, Sandy, I was reading something the other day, and it talked about the scientists, the climate scientists, are concerned. They're worried that if Donald Trump gets elected, all of that research that they've been doing is going to be basically covered up.
Well, and it's fake science, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're really seriously concerned about the damage that can be done, Sandy, with all the research if Trump becomes president. Because as you stated, he thinks it's fake science.
Well, whether he thinks it's fake science, he's willing to claim that it's fake science. You know, he talked to the petroleum executives about them contributing $1 billion to his campaign, and he would give them everything they could dream of. Well, part of what they dream of is overcoming the problems associated with climate change. But, and they don't mean solving the problems. They mean ignoring the problems.
Yeah. So, I mean, it really, all of these things, you know, you put them in a bag, shake them up, and it points to, you know, maybe not tomorrow. We're not going to see the real ravages of climate change, Sandy. Maybe not totally in your and my life, but in our grandchildren's lives.
I mean, if a business person, a sound business person, was looking at this issue, they'd look at the future probable costs associated with climate change. They'd look at the science associated with the extent to which that that climate change could be slowed down by human conduct. They'd look at the cost associated with slowing that down, and they'd start making some business-like decisions about what we should be implementing in the way of policies to slow down climate change. You know, but the current debate doesn't allow for that. The current debate is either all in or all out associated with whether there's climate change, whether human conduct contributes to it, and whether human conduct ought to be modified to associated with trying to slow down climate change.
You know, Sandy, 844-967-2789. You hear people talking about Joe Biden and his, you know, his dementia and all those kind of things. What would you say about a man who's coming to Milwaukee for a convention to be nominated, and the thing out of his mouth is Milwaukee's a horrible city and some other things? Well, 844-967-2789. We're going to discuss that and other things on the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams.
Sheboygan, it's the greatest little town in the world. Just tell them all you're an old friend of mine, and every door in town will have a big welcome sign. So mention my name in Sheboygan, and if you ever get in a jam, just mention my name. I said mention my name, but please don't tell them where I am.
All right, welcome back to a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Open mouth, insert foot. The nominee for president of the United States on the Republican ticket had some things to say about the city of Milwaukee, where the Republican convention is going to be here in 3 weeks. Let me hit this quickly from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Donald Trump on Thursday called Milwaukee, where in a little over a month he will be declared the Republican nominee for president in a horrible city. Trump made the comment to House Republicans in a morning meeting on Capitol Hill to discuss campaign strategies among other GOP priorities. Milwaukee, where we're having our convention, is a horrible city, Trump told the GOP lawmakers, according to a report from Punchbowl News. The spokesperson for Trump characterized the report as total BS. He never said it like how it's been falsely characterized. That's some strange wording, huh?
Well, you know, there's been a lot. I think it was interesting. The people who, all these Republicans, all these House of Representative Republicans were sitting there. Some of them came out and said he didn't say it at all. Some of the others came out and said, yeah, he said it, but here's what he meant. And then when they describe what he meant, they have different versions of it. So it's kind of like revisionist history. And when you have revisionist history, because it doesn't relate to facts, you get a lot of different stories. So, you know, the fact is he said it. And I don't think he necessarily even explained what he was saying, but those around have decided to come up with explanations. The explanations I've heard are that, well, he said it, but what he was referring to is all the voting fraud. Or he said it, but what he was referring to is all the crime in the city, which, You just told me crime is down 39%, murder is down 39%, violent crime in Milwaukee. So, you know, in fact, one of the things that's telling is that Trump is running on a campaign stump speech that relates to the failure of America, how America is being overridden by criminal immigrants. The fact is there's no factual basis for saying that the immigrants are more criminal than the people who live here. In fact, the evidence is they're not more criminal. He says that the immigrants are all being released from mental institutions and prisons around the world. That's not the case. He says that the population of prisons around the world is going down because they're sending them all to the United States. It's total fiction. He says that the economy is in shambles. There's no proof, there's no facts whatsoever to support the economy is in shambles. Every part of the economy that you can analyze is strong, okay? So, I mean, he doesn't have a filter between his brain and his mouth. And some of those who support him say, well, that's fantastic. It's transparent. We all know what Donald Trump is thinking. Well, I wish then if someone were, we knew everything he was thinking, that at least sometimes he would come out with something that was profound. But we don't get much profundity. This filter only reveals to us stuff that other people have to explain. Like, why Hannibal Lecter is a person he mentioned Hannibal Lecter again to the Republicans. He said Hannibal Lecter's a fine guy. So, I mean, okay.
Let's go to Julie from Franklin. Good morning to you, Julie. You say what?
Oh, hi. Real quick, Sandy, I didn't realize you were going to Sarasota. That's where I was for 8 years taking care of my mom and dad. Not a fun place in the summer.
No.
Definitely.
We definitely agree about that. Yeah. Julie.
Yeah, we were. I was right by that Nate Benderson Park where they had the rowing. is there a clip of Trump saying what he said or supposedly said?
Well, you know, there's not a clip, but there are a number of Republican witnesses who have repeated it. So the reason we know about it is that those who were present said that he said it. And I think that now almost everyone who's asked about it does say that he said it. Then they explain what he meant by what he said. So, you know, I, again, it is all hearsay because we didn't hear it. Someone told us that it was said. He's also tried to explain it himself. So he didn't deny that he said it. He simply tried to explain it. So I think that I'm willing to believe, even though it's hearsay, I'll go with the notion that there's enough evidence about it that, yes, he said it.
Well, you know, and even if he goes to the thing about, well, he was talking about the
voter fraud.
The voter fraud. There's nothing to prove that.
Well, I know. That's another one of the facts about which there is no proof. And I just don't understand why it is that we continue to have that discussion without any hard evidence, why the people who want to talk about it don't come forward with hard evidence. I saw something on social media I then did fact checking on, which was totally false, saying that there were 100 counties that around the country that voted Democratic in which there were more people registered to vote than there were population. Well, people say these things, but there's no facts to base it up on.
Julie, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, okay, so I think this is why people are frustrated, because if you're going to fact check something, then, you know, can you trust the sources that you're trying to fact check something with? And I don't know if I called in a month or so ago about the 47% of Americans don't pay tax, and you guys, you know, were like, no, that's not true. So I've got a...
Well, no, I did go fact check that, And of course, it is true, but do you know why they don't pay taxes?
They don't make enough money.
They don't make enough money. They don't make enough money to pay taxes. And should we talk about the average tax rate of what middle America pays as an average tax rate as compared to the average tax rate paid by the top 5%? Because there's lots of facts about the tax code and the tax and the source of the tax revenue that is worthy of talking about. And one of the reasons that is symptomatic of the problem in the architecture of our economy is the very fact you point out, that there is a significant percentage of Americans who aren't currently paying Well, they all do pay FICA, incidentally. The ones who are working all do pay that tax, okay? So what you were talking about was the federal income tax and not the employment tax. But and the federal employment tax is significant for the people who are paying it, who aren't paying income tax, because they aren't earning much money.
Okay, well, you would think there would be a pretty, I don't know, simple solution. I mean, we could figure out, like, if 50%, 7% of households don't pay any, why can't it be $10?
It's not 57. You said 47, I think, before, and I was willing to concede that there is a number up in that is materially close to that number that aren't paying income tax, but they're paying FICA employment tax, and they're paying state taxes, and they're paying all kinds of taxes. But and the reason they aren't paying the income tax is simply that they don't earn enough money after the expenses associated with any deductible expenses.
They're paying sales tax. But go ahead.
Can I clarify?
Yeah, quickly.
Can I clarify?
Quickly.
Okay.
Yes.
So the nonpartisan Tax Policy Center estimated that 57% of U.S. households paid no federal income taxes for 2021, up substantially from the 44% before the pandemic. That's on CNBC.
Yeah, I know, but that was during the pandemic that you're describing. 2021 was a pandemic year.
When things were shut down.
Things were shut down. But we shouldn't quibble about a percent here or a percent there. Also, I don't think that the people you cited are in fact nonpartisan. I think that is in fact a conservative group that describes itself in that way. But I'm certainly willing to concede that a significant percentage of American families are not paying federal income taxes. But the reason for that is not that they're cheapskates or that they're tax avoiders. It's that they don't earn enough money. Middle class America. We've gone through the budget of middle class America, and when you look at the budget of middle class America, you realize how much behind the eight ball they are.
You know, and I'd also say, Julie, that you know the IRS. If you don't pay the taxes you owe, even you know if you're, you know, not making a lot of money, you know they will penalize you. And come after you. Let's go to Gene from Eau Claire. Good morning to you, Gene. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning. And I agree that a lot of those people aren't making enough money to pay taxes, and then they're trying to pay, you know, their property, their rent, you know, property taxes, rent, you know, taxes on everything you buy. I mean, it's ridiculous. So I just want to make one comment related to, you know, Trump and his attitude toward Milwaukee and attitude for bills that he has refused to pay in the past. Please, people in Milwaukee who have businesses, who work with any of these people, get your money up front. Don't let people have a big tab and have to go after them later, because it's happened in other places they've been, and you just got to watch out for your business. And I hope people will take that to heart. It's not being mean. It's being cautionary. You're better off to protect yourself ahead of time. And that's my two cents worth. You guys have a great
weekend. Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call. Hey, Tom, what's going on, man? Tom from L.A.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know what? The thing that's so interesting is that we have had such a broken of trust in the public, where now we have to say that came from a conservative newspaper, that came from a progressive place. God, what happened to just who, what, when, why, where? Facts that can't be disputed either way, because it seems like the facts, you know, you could say all of the, and this started during Obama. You know, Obama's unemployment rate was a certain thing. Well, you know what? The people that were saying that about the unemployment, they actually work for Obama, so therefore they're going to make it sound like it's just like it's called propaganda, people. That's what all of this is. It's money in politics. Why do you think the billionaires spend so much money on TV commercials to get you not to vote? Why is it that they apparently they think voting is pretty important, that the people have the power to change things through the vote, but they want to suppress that vote through whether it's, I'm so sick of politics and I don't want to have anything to do with it, and they get apathetic or something like that. But it must be pretty important because they spend a lot of money because they want to have an authoritarian dictator, and they want to have a society where the corporations are running everything and not we the people. Also, I'm surprised that Donald Trump didn't just call Milwaukee, because I think it was a racist tinge to it, of course, an asshole place.
Yeah,
like he did about a country in the past. And then, Sandy, if you get a chance sometime, either today or in the future, could you explain to me, like a five-year-old, and give me an example maybe of a store or a company, what private equity really is and how it is that, you know, I think it means that companies or these investors go in, bankrupt the company, liquidate it, and then the economy is hurt as a whole, or the people in the community are hurt as a whole because of that. But I don't really understand it. And I know that, you know, hospitals are becoming private equity, and I know that different places are, you know, doing private equity, but I really don't understand the abstract term of private equity. And I just wish someone would explain it, like, you know, so we could all understand it maybe a little bit better.
Thank you. Tom, thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789 is the number. You want to respond in it?
Well, I think private equity is for another show. That's sort of a segue that we don't have. But, you know, I think we started out by talking about the Milwaukee's a horrible city.
Right.
And I think all one need do is visit Milwaukee and drive around Milwaukee and spend a little time here to realize that that's the furthest from the truth.
And you
okay?
know what?
It's as deranged as some other things.
Many people do. As a matter of fact, you know, we've got the festivals now. People are going to be coming into the city in tremendous numbers. We got 844-967-2789. Hang on. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
It's late and she's waiting, and I know I should go home, but every time I start to leave, they play another song, and someone buys another round, and wherever drinks are free, what's made Milwaukee famous has made a fool out of me.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas. That's him. Is that Willie Nelson?
No, that's Jerry Lee Lewis.
Oh, Jerry Lee Lewis. 844-967-2789, Texas. It's that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and Sandy and the
I pick music that celebrates Wisconsin, or at least talks about Wisconsin and Milwaukee, because there was somebody yesterday who decided Milwaukee was a horrible place, and I don't think the rest of the world agrees with him. But I thought we would celebrate it with music. And, you know, it was beer that made Milwaukee famous that he's referring to, but there's plenty of other things now. In fact, much less beer is made in Milwaukee than used to be made here, and many other things are contributing to what is great about Wisconsin and Milwaukee.
You know, Sandy, Julie asked, is there any proof? It was Republicans who were there who said, Who talked about this?
Yeah, I think, I mean, that would be a retreat to historical revisionism that is called denial. You know, you can go into denial and say, well, I wasn't there, so maybe he didn't say it. But I think there's no question that he said it. Now we're into the revisionism of, okay, well, what did the man mean when he said it? And to be honest with you, any of the explanations that have been come up are factually unsupported and incorrect. So I don't think the rationale helps very much.
All right, let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Hey, good morning, G. Mike, thank you very much for the call. You ever been to Milwaukee, Mike, since Laverne and Shirley?
Yeah. No, I got to see Carl Yastrzemski play in the old County Stadium.
Oh, okay.
With my little brother as a treat for the weekend when Boston came up for the weekend series. Now, you know, Milwaukee is one of the most diverse communities in our land, and it's worked very well. From what I understand, you know, very little racial tension and conflict resides in its history. We have communities, and this was explained to me by a company that I did a consulting work for a couple of years in Milwaukee, in that marketplace. And when asked, you know, certain questions about the demographics and, you know, trying to understand the market so I could prepare a marketing plan, that's the first thing that they brought out to me is how diverse the communities were and how everybody kind of stuck to their own and it worked very well and they're all proud of it. So, you know, when I'm listening to these types of lambasted rhetoric coming from this candidate, it just reminds me how tired I think most of us are of the crap talking of America. You know, we've been listening to this stuff as part of their dissing America, hating on America campaign for so long, yet so many of their policies are at the brunt of the demise, for example, of the Rust Belt states. It was the right-wing policies that gutted through NAFTA and globalism that changed, you know, the upper Midwest and the Rust Belt states forever. So, and I love to talk about private equity as well, because they're kind of related. But getting back to my point is, I'm tired of this guy, or anybody else, for that matter, in the media, crap-talking America when they never offer solutions to fix it. They just pivot away, and if they find themselves in the quandary and they can't respond intelligently, then they just claim fake news. This is the truth. So, last comment, real quickly. To the gal talking about not paying taxes in a large number, take a look at the Fortune 500. In their paying of taxes in the last 5 years, you're going to find that 400 of the 500, many years, not only paid zero, but they received millions in negative, if you will, income tax, in bailouts and quantum easing bailouts. So, Let's talk about that, but we have to have a full conversation, not just cherry pick little nuggets here. This is good stuff, and I thank you very much.
Hey Mike, thank you very much for the call. Sandy?
Well, you know, I don't know if we'll have time today to talk about it, but the economy generally and the policies that are being discussed about it, the candidate that we've been talking about, the former president, has now talked about replacing the income tax with tariffs. He floated that idea in that same meeting, which is harebrained. You know, one of the things that the Republicans want to run on now is they want to run against the administration because there has been inflation. Well, the policies that are being discussed by the former president are all of them inflationary. Imposing more tariffs is inflationary. Relying only on tariffs would be very inflationary. Cutting taxes is inflationary. All of what is being talked about runs directly contrary to what the Republicans want to attack the current administration for about the economy. And yet what he's really doing is pandering to people who can dream about, oh my God, just think, no income taxes. It's like a wonderful dream that people can chase. It's like, but it's illusory, totally illusory. There's no way we could shift to all tariffs. And there's no way that we should increase tariffs in the manner that he's talking about, because it will be highly inflationary. And who pays the price if the tax that we're going to be imposing is all paid for through consumer goods? It's a regressive tax, just like the sales tax. It's paid for predominantly by people with low incomes.
Well, you know, Sandy, it's pretty clear that Donald Trump didn't come up with that idea. There are people who are feeding him that, who want to see that happen, who are much smarter than he is. He didn't come up with that. So you the danger, Sandy, is those people who are feeding him that.
Well, the chicken in every pot that everyone, you've always talked about as being the illusory promise that politicians made, is comprised of things like no income tax in the future. You know, that's the ultimate promise, okay?
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. That means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams.